When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. I want to say thank you for listening to our show. It amazes me that people still have any interest in what we have to say, and I'm glad that you're here. And I wanted to give you a heads up that this is kind of a very special episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. A little bit of context. We had the opportunity a couple weeks ago to go on the Couple Things podcast. Couple Things is run by Shawn Johnson and her husband, Andrew East. Shawn is an Olympic gold medalist in gymnastics and also won Dancing with the Stars, which is pretty cool. Andrew played in the NFL and was also American Ninja Warrior. But those are kind of the least interesting things about them. They are also two people who are trying to make their way in the world as a couple and as parents, trying to figure out what makes marriage work. And we got to talk to them a lot about the Gottman Institute and the research there. It was a really fun opportunity for us. You should check it out. It's on their YouTube channel, which I think is called Couple Things Pod. And it's a cool interview. After the interview, Laura had some things that were on her mind and she wanted to talk to me about them. She was stirred up or triggered by some stuff and thought maybe it would be a good idea for she and I to hash it out on the podcast. So I find out about that kind of while we're recording and the two of us work through this conflict together. I don't know if it's called conflict, but we sort of work it out and it's, I hope it's valuable to you. I mean, we tap into some of our best skills. We try to model, you know, for you what goes well and what doesn't go well, but we weren't play acting. This was us in the middle of a real argument about a real thing that really happened in our real lives. And also we're okay. We have connected since then, since we did this recording, and it's all good in Marriage Therapy Radio land. I did want to give you one more heads up about the Art and Science of Love workshop that we're doing in October 23rd and 24th. This is about the last week for you to register and get there on time, particularly if you're listening in the middle of October 2021. If you're listening after that, it's too late. Sorry about that. When you do register, they want to send you a box of materials that will help guide you through the weekend. We're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a big help. We use a lot of skills that we teach in that workshop here in this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. I hope it is of value to you. It was of value to me. And I think to Laura, it's a very cool conversation. Stick around.
A little background. So I sent Zach a message and I said, hey, I've been kind of sitting on some frustrations and I was thinking it would be really helpful for us to have this conversation for the very first time on air in the hopes that we do it well enough where you're able to see what it looks like with two therapists like airing their beef or one therapist airing their beef. That's okay. Me and catching the other one totally off guard. So like in real time, this is happening. I had to ask for permission to record this. Zach is not, I mean, how are you feeling about it?
I care quite a bit about what you're feeling and, that you're holding on to something that feels important to you. I did not like the way that you introduced that to me. That has been problematic for me for the last day or so. So I'm having to do two things, which is be defensive about that, but also like I care about you and I'm interested in knowing what's on your mind and finding out what, you know, how I can be of help.
So that's how I'm feeling. When I sent you the message, this was 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So you're right, like a day and a half. It's been a day and a half. I sent you the message. I had some liquid courage. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, I've got this idea. That was not helpful for you to know that there was something on my mind that I wanted to talk to you in the future.
Well, I mean, what you said was, hey, I've got this idea. I've been sitting on something for about 9 days that I've been wanting to talk to you about, and I think we should do it on the podcast. And I was like, wait a second, you've been upset with me for 9 days and I'm hearing about it now via Liquid Courage text message that you have at 10 o'clock at night. And that just doesn't.
It was definitely 8 o'clock. Just letting you know,
it was 8 o'clock. And then I wrote you back at 8:02. And then you wrote me back at 10 o'clock and said, yep, that's what I did. I just did that thing that you are sort of sad that I did. And I was like, okay, well, I guess you did that. And then you woke up the next day and texted me detail stuff, which made me think, maybe that was very Liquid Courage-y. And
I have this tendency to be kind of conflict avoidant in the sense of, like, when this feeling came up, the first thing that I did was I took a deep breath and I went for a long walk with my dog. And I just sort of was like, I'm having some pretty strong feelings. This is talking about like the occurrence that occurred that I want to talk to you about. Having some strong feelings, I had slipped very quickly into like shame and anger. And I retreated and I just was like, this is not something that I can talk to him about. Like I felt shameful for the feelings that I was having. And I didn't know if I should be having those feelings. Like I really second guessed myself for being upset. Like kind of, I go into this mode that's kind of an old feeling of, you are overreacting. Laura's overreacting. These feelings are not justified. You're blowing this out of proportion. And so I really went into, is this a me problem or is this a we problem? Trying to figure out if, do I need to deal with this on my own or do I need to address this with Zach as a we problem? So I took some time and I was going to honestly like just let it simmer because it was kind of a one-off. Like it was something that was not a perpetual issue that I'm seeing over and over. It was the first time that this experience happened to me. And so I was like, okay, it was probably a fluke. It was an off day. I felt like I had like, I kind of made up some stories as to why it occurred. But then I thought, you know what? You have no idea what I'm ready to talk about.
Right? Like, okay. I get it. This is actually thinking about what you've invited me and us to do. And is this going to be helpful for people? And I'll just check in with my own like gut right now. And okay, I think it's, this is weird because I feel like we need to do two things at once, right? Like we need to do the thing that respects and honors your thing, but also realize that who we're talking to, or maybe we don't do that. And we just say, hey guys, deal with it later. But I have to, I definitely am checking in with okay, Laura, what is it? Like, come on.
Tell me,
something I need to belay, right? Just and kind of go, all right, anyway, we're doing two things at once, at least my brain is,
I think number one, we just do it. And then we can kind of like talk about what we did after the fact. Like, did you notice this? Did you notice this? Like Zach got defensive at that moment. All right. So here's what happened.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Here's what happened.
So I will tell you that I've waited. I don't have any energy in it. Meaning like I feel very clear headed to be able to present my feelings and my thoughts without feeling like I'm going to get emotionally flooded and be hijacked. So I feel like I'm in a really good space and I just want to check in with you. Do you feel like you're in a good space to receive this information?
Thank you for asking. Yes and no, but I think I'll be fine in maybe 30 seconds or so.
Okay. All right. So here's what happened. We did the interview with Sean Johnson and Andrew East.
East.
We did the interview with them and, something happened during the interview. Basically, like I really walked away from that, not feeling like we were a team. And I felt like I was very much so like steamrolled and not given space to show up with my like expertise. And normally what happens is that you and I share our, like we're like the two-headed dragon. That's how I describe us, right? Like we have different opinions. We see things differently. We use language differently. We have different metaphors. And I think there's power in having that represented. And that's how we've always worked as a team.
Yep.
But with that interview, something happened where I sat there and I just felt like I can't get a word in edgewise. Like a question would be asked and then you would respond so quickly that I found like, I can't even interject. There wasn't like space. And I feel like there is space normally between us of what do you think, Laura? And with that, I started to tell myself the story of like, I'm not valued. I kind of created this story that it was like an important interview for you to feel, to like represent yourself as Zach Brittle, like an expert in the field. And so I don't know, like as we were part of that, I mean, I think you had amazing things to say, but I also really felt also like this shame as a woman, like there was very much like a power dynamic that played out that made it more and more difficult for me to speak up, like feeling as the interview went on, there was less room for me to be able to speak and offer my opinion. And I kind of even felt like I got a little meta on it where I even mentioned, if you remember the beginning of the interview, I was like, oh, just so you know, we interrupt each other, kind of like playing it off like it's okay. Mm-hmm. But normally it's okay because we interrupt, both of us interrupt each other. But during that interview, I really felt like this is not okay because now I'm not being represented as an equal partner. And so that was a hard interview for me.
Okay. All right. Okay. First of all, thank you for telling me that. It makes me really sad. Because 100% that is not at all what I actually feel or think or want you or really anybody in my life to experience, particularly my wife and my daughters, as we talked about last week. So I'm really bummed that that's the experience that you had. The second thing I want to say is I thought you crushed that interview. Like I'm kind of like, oh my gosh, what I'm aware of right now is like, oh my God, everybody's going to go back and listen to it. And we're going to go back and listen to it. Right? We're going to find out like what really happened. But I think there were a few, I mean, for me, there were a few moments where I was like, I have to defer to Laura here, or I have to set this aside. I don't doubt at all that your experience was real, because it did feel like a little bit of a higher stakes conversation. It felt like there was kind of more. We were representing the Institute. We were representing the Institute. We were talking to on a much larger platform with people who, you know, have built their own kind of influencer model, which is fantastic. And I'm sure some of my ego was in that. I can't imagine that there wasn't, but, you know, I got off feeling like, well, I got a feeling like we crushed it, but in particular, I got a feeling like, wow, she really stepped up. So So I'm not saying your experience isn't real. I'm just saying, I hope that you can hear me say that my part in that experience was an accident for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it just wasn't, I mean, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I need to go double check, but again, we get to go back and review the tape.
I know, so. It's kind of unique, right? Like I feel like a lot of people are kind of like, gosh, I wish we just had recorded it, right? Like what's true, what's not true. And it'll probably be an edited version. Maybe the editor will look at it and go like, hey, we're just going to like cut some of Zach out just to make it a little more equal. Cause I kind of feel like I don't know. But, I think one, it makes me feel really good when you said, I left that interview feeling like you crushed it. And it was really interesting. You sent me, we had a dialogue, right, with Katie from the Institute, and she said, how'd it go? And you said, Laura crushed it. Like, she's not being modest. Like she crushed it. That for me was like, is he like, really? Like, you really think I crushed it? I mean, it was such an interesting experience because I just walked away from that feeling not proud of myself, feeling really kind of like diminished, feeling like disappointed that I didn't speak up. I didn't create more space in an opportunity, like fight for air. And it was interesting. It kind of became for me kind of like a female dynamic, a male-female power dynamic.
Well, and just for context, we're talking to another couple.
Right.
A man and a woman who, you know, so there were four of us for the kind of the first time, and it did have its own energy around both education and personal insight. So it was a bizarre landscape for sure. But no, I wasn't being, like, yeah, I mean, I think I remember one moment where I was like, actually, I think, Laura, that's not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say this other thing.
Right.
Which was really me saying, I think you do this part like really, really well. That, I guess that was more into your sort of personal life.
That was awesome. I really appreciated that. Cause that's kind of more of where I feel like you and I do very well is pushing it back and forth and saying like, I kind of think I know how you're going to respond to this. This is sort of like Laura's expertise and like handing me that, in a, like a graceful, like, I don't know, just like humble space. But I kind of walked away from that feeling. Again, I told myself this story that like, this was something where you were trying to prove yourself, and trying to, I know you've been, you know, like wanting to be Operation Blue Check. And, so I kind of, that's where I was coming from was like, okay, there's a lot in this for Zach, maybe more at stake for him than for me. But I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to say no. That's not how I felt at all. Because I think there was a lot at stake. There is, that is true. But I don't have enough of the ego gene, I think. And maybe that's like problematic for me sometimes. Like I just, when I'm chasing the blue check, I'm doing it almost entirely tongue in cheek. And I was just going to say today, like, I can't wait till we have enough followers so that I don't notice when people unfollow us. I think, I don't know, we got to like 1100 or something yesterday. And then this morning we woke up at 1098 and I was like, what happened?
What did I do?
That so interview hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah.
So anyway, hey, I'm super bummed that you had that experience. The therapist in me probably thinks there is some Laura stuff that belongs only to you that right. I know that you care about and that you are going to pay attention to. I am sure that I brought my own stuff to it and that made it harder. And yeah, I mean, I guess the tape will tell, but you got to know that I don't have any interest in making you feel small.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. I think, you know, looking forward, we are getting ready to present. We're getting ready to co-present The Art and Science of Love on October 23rd and 24th. And by the way, like if you're going to register, now's the time because you get shipped your materials and we need to ship them to you.
And I actually think this is the last one that comes
to register.
I wanted to tell you something. I think this is the last episode that comes out before the weekend. And also it's our birthday.
Like you and
today.
I?
No, today it's Marriage Therapy Radio's birthday. Like today, like
how,
right now.
How many years? 3 years?
Four.
That's nuts. So we've gone three full years.
17 to 18, and now 18 to 19, 19 to 20, 20 to 21. Yeah, 4 years.
Oh, we've done it for 4 years.
Yeah, this is we're 4 years old. This is the first week of October. It's kind of like all those babies, those New Year's babies.
Uh-huh. Wow. Hey,
wait a second. You good? So, you feel like... Do we get that?
Well, no, I mean, like here's okay. What I'm saying is that the thing that I didn't want was the reason why I didn't conflict avoid this, right? Was because we have times where we're getting ready to present for 2 days, The Art and Science of Love. And I know that, you know, on the podcast, we have our own vibe. You and I, we share headspace, but we've never done The Art and Science of Love before. And it is high stakes and we do want to be able to prove ourselves. And we have a lot of people that are coming to us, not as Marriage Therapy Radio fans, but as fans of the Gottman Institute, because, you know, like, so we're filling big shoes, John and Julie Gottman's shoes. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say, I really don't want this to be a repeat occurrence. Like I want to be able to put some things 100%. In place.
Yeah, that's why we have our spreadsheet.
Right. So we have our spreadsheet of like what we're talking about, but I also do want that organic experience of being able to interrupt and add in like, hey, also this is really cool. And this is something that I find interesting about the research talking about this topic. So I still want there to be that allowance with one another. But maybe I'll just kind of keep you in the loop if I ever start to have that feeling come up for me so that you
we should
aware.
Have like a code word. We should have a code word where if you just use the code word, then I just
like turtles. Stop.
Yeah. Or something.
I like turtles. If I you like know, them. You know, I like turtles.
Okay.
All set? I better. Thank you. How was it for you? Was that as bad as you thought it was going to be?
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Can I say something? Can I have a problem real quick? In the future, when something is bothering you and you sort it out, could you communicate that to me in a way that is more, I think, appreciative of both my time and also the fact that I'm going to get anxious about that stuff?
Okay.
Okay.
I will.
Okay. It's fine if you want to send me an email and be like, hey, I have this idea, but that's not been fun for me the last day and a half. I've been trying to work on tapping into all my stories, and I think you can help with that by just knowing who you're talking to.
Okay. I will take into account in the future that you run anxious and that was not fun. I think honestly it was.
And when I say my time, I'm not talking about don't waste my time. I'm talking about maybe there's a better time than like when you're not available to answer follow-up questions.
Yeah. And So like in all honesty, that was me being spiteful, getting back at you.
Oh yeah.
That was intentional. What I did was I knew at some point that was going to make you uncomfortable. It was going to blow your hair back a little bit. And so I recognize how childish that was.
Wow. Okay. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. That's a thing. It's a thing.
I had like a liquid courage and I had like my 14-year-old come out, and I don't know if you enjoyed my 14-year-old. Probably not.
I did not.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's dissect this for a second. And so that was Zach and Laura doing a real thing. Now I just want to talk about what went well with that conversation. Like if you're going to replicate.
Well, maybe what I need to do is take a couple deep breaths first. So hold on 1 second.
I know, me too. Transitioning is hard. Consider this your personal invitation to join Zach and me for the weekend of October 23rd and 24th, virtually from wherever you call home. The Gottman Institute has entrusted Zach and I to host for the very first time in history, the Art and Science of Love Couples Workshop. This workshop was developed by the Einstein of Love himself, Drs. John Gottman and his wife, Dr. Julie Schwartz Gottman. This is a two-day live virtual workshop. It is all grounded in research on what actually keeps relationships happy and stable. We want to see for yourself why millions of couples worldwide have benefited from the Gottman Method. Look, this workshop is designed to strengthen relationships through engaging presentation. That's us. And experiential activities. That's you. And if you have a strong relationship, this workshop will provide you with the insight and tools to foster further closeness, friendship, and trust. And if your relationship is distressed, this workshop will provide you with greater understanding of your relationship and a roadmap for repair. Look, registration is limited. We definitely want to make sure that our friends of Marriage Therapy Radio snag the limited seats. Registration is only $5.99 per couple, and you save 10% off when you register with the code MTR2021. So go to gottman.com/MTR. It's GOTTMAN. .com/MTR. We're super pumped to meet you virtually and to spend a weekend sharing our favorite research, favorite stories, dad jokes, and exercises that are all proven to strengthen your relationship. Just remember to use your promo code MTR2021 to get the discount. And we will see you on October 23rd and 24th for the Art and Science of Love Couples Workshop. That was all in real time. A couple of things that I noticed that made the conversation go well, for me at least, was my own timing, like allowing myself the opportunity to get some space from it and to be able to respond rather than react. Like, I certainly could have had this conversation the minute we got off of the interview with Sean and Andrew, but I didn't. And so I think we need to send this recording, by the way, to Sean and Andrew and be like, I'll have them weigh in and be like, yeah, I totally thought, Laura, you didn't have much to say. You were so quiet. But yeah, I mean, I waited until I didn't have some heat in it.
Okay. Yep.
I certainly did not ask you to have this conversation with me in the appropriate way that I teach my couples. I waited until I was feeling kind of spiteful and had some liquid courage and wanted you to sit in that uncertainty of discomfort of like, what is she going to say? Like, what is this all about? I don't know. So that wasn't good. I can definitely have done that much better.
Okay.
What do you think went well?
I have personally been working on, we work with a lot of people, and when I hear about people who are defensive, I immediately become aligned to and with them because I'm defensive. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really proud of how I've become good at being defensive.
You're the best defensive guy ever.
Well, I mean, part of what I can attribute that to is practice. But also, like, part of that practice is learning how to just say yes, mm-hmm. period. So regardless of what you were about to say, I knew I was in a posture of going, yeah, that was really real. Mm-hmm. I wanted to absolutely make sure I said yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Gosh, that experience sucks. That makes me really sad, without needing to vet or defend or judge or dispute any of that. So
can I say something that was really like powerful that you said in that yes statement? Is that the moment you said, this really matters to me. Like, you know, you told me there's something that is bothering you that you want to talk about, and I've been anxious, and like, the fact that you're kind of like unveiling this experience that you had where I was totally unaware of your feelings and what was going on for you. Like, you said to me, you matter. Like, this matters to me because I really care about you. I don't know if you said it in those words, but that's how I received it. And I've just kind of felt myself like take a big deep breath and just settle in. Cause I was like, okay, I've got him. Like, he's hearing me because he cares about me. And I think that sentiment that you shared just meant the world, that you were like, whatever you're bringing to the table, like, I'm here to hear it. It's going to be hard to hear it, but I care about you. And if it's something's bothering you, then I want to hear about it.
Okay, good. Yeah. That is a skill that I think people who are good at being defensive need to learn how to employ, which is to recognize that there can be two separate things that can both be true. And one is that, in this case, your experience is completely real, mm-hmm. and that the relationship matters and that this is a thing that needs attention. And then two is there's more to the story. And I think when we get into the, like, that's not true, or
right,
that's wrong, that immediately, creates a dynamic that doesn't have to exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I can almost imagine how, if that's how you would have shown up or responded, how this could have devolved. I mean, we even have like video evidence, right? Which a lot of couples don't. Yeah. But it doesn't matter, because it doesn't matter. Like, if we go back and we watch the video and in fact, like 99.9% of people say, Laura, the things that you said, like, you had equal airspace and
you were totally wrong. Factually, Laura, you were completely wrong.
Factually, you were wrong.
It doesn't quite matter. Yeah. Yeah.
Nope. Because I
had. Or factually, you were right, by the way. If it was sure. Like, you know, factually, yeah. We measured the time and it was 80%. They do that in soccer, by the way. Measure time of possession.
Oh.
Okay. Well, they do that in a lot of sports. Anyway, I think sometimes the facts don't matter. Mm-hmm. I guess is the point.
Yeah.
Another thing that went well for me, I can say, is that when you. I'm going to be a little bit hot actually about you deciding that you wanted to hurt me. That's going to sting for a minute, but I will say this part, that you talked to me a little bit about how you used the last week. I really did check in with myself to see if it was about me, to see if it was about we, to see if it was about you. Like it set the table for me to kind of almost like, it's almost like you took arguments away from me. And I don't mean that like it's almost like you took away from me the opportunity to go, well, maybe that's just about you. Or did you think that this is a lot of like your story with your blah, blah, blah? Like I can really appreciate. And I think to me that speaks sort of to the, when people can look across the relationship, spouses or whatever, and see that the other one is doing their work. Like I can see that you are doing the work that is required to be in an emotionally intelligent relationship. It's confidence building. It's disarming and diffusing. Like, I think in the same way that like, while you owned it, being able to see that you didn't do the work, that you just kind of dropped into your 15-year-old is painful. I have regard and respect for that you spent time as a functional adult working through, maybe you just need to sleep on it. Like maybe I just need to sleep on it. It'll go away. And I think there's value in that, because if we pick every single battle all the time, we don't know which ones are important.
That's true. And I agree. Like I'm so proud that I didn't, like give you a call and say like, hey, how'd that interview go? How'd you feel about it, Zach? And like, I'm sure at that moment I was,
well, what I would have said
emotional.
Is I thought it was amazing. I thought you crushed it. I think you did a fantastic job and I'm really proud of us.
Like giving myself some time to cool off. I did my favorite activity. Like I did my self-soothing activity is my absolute favorite, is going for a long walk with my dog and getting out in nature. And I, you know, just was like, gosh, these are crummy feelings. Like I really went down into shame and it was like a nasty, yucky feeling. And I don't know where that came from. And I just wanted to sort it out. The other thing that I think went really well with this conversation is the interludes of humor, like allowing their distraction or like these little interludes where we're just talking about something and we like get a good giggle and it just kind of lightens the mood and it allows me to stay in a place of like friendship with you, which is important when I'm having this conversation. And I will say like, the attribution of, hey, this hasn't happened before. This is the very first time this has ever occurred, but I still had these yucky feelings that I'm trying to sort out. And I kind of want to know like what was going on for you. Are my stories accurate that I was making up, that like, maybe you came to me and you said, wow, you're totally right, Laura. Like I was trying to like really be seen as the expert and I didn't leave space for you. And that was like pretty stinking intentional. And I didn't expect it to have such a negative impact. I don't know, but, I don't remember where I was going with that, but I am really glad that this hasn't happened before. It's the first time it's come up and I'm just sort of like, hey, I don't want to feel this way again. We have some high stakes conversations coming up in the future that I want to make sure like our friendships remains really solid and our agreements.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, at the textbook level, what you're talking, the humor piece is we're talking about repair attempts. Those are just repair attempts. They kind of keep you paired. It wasn't humor designed to exit the conversation. I think I actually, on purpose, when we started to kind of go into a funny sidebar, I think I said, are we done? Do we need to come back to this? And you're like, yeah, we do. And
I do.
So that, I think that's repairing, you know, that's what that is. So there's a little bit of a skill set there. I think the other piece though, that I really like value is, we have to recognize that some things are just kind of one-offs, like in our relationships. Like that was a thing that didn't feel good. Something was interesting and new about it. And again, this could be inside your own home, like inside your parenting structure, but like one-offs, it's important that we don't build them into truths, like, or patterns, right? We don't make them patterns. A lot of times we'll talk about particularly in like cases of domestic violence, there's a difference between what's called characterological and incidental issues. And so it's really important to differentiate between whether or not this is part of the character of the relationship or the person, or is it an incident? And I think those are different. They need different kind of attention. Incidents need different attention than themes or patterns, I guess, is the way to put that.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it. I appreciate that we treat it like that. I get that part. That's
Well, this, I think this has been interesting. I'm kind of curious to hear like how it was received by our, by our listeners. Like, what is it like when two therapists hash it out? And also, I don't know when the interview is coming out with Sean Johnson and Andrew East, but it would be very interesting for you to go and like watch that. Like, just
well,
watch
yeah,
that.
I'll find out because I'm actually trying to ask because, again, I think the interview itself was really fun. Mm-hmm. And I walked away feeling really great about it and what they drew out of us and how they drew it out of mm-hmm. us and what they, and I've been, I asked him, hey, when is this coming out? Cause we're sort of hoping that it will, be a part of helping us, have people come to the Art and Science of Love
on October 23rd and 24th.
He hasn't written me back. And now I'm like, I know why he's not writing me back. Cause I totally steamrolled Laura and he thinks I'm a jackass and now it's gonna, it's like they think so,
that's funny.
Yeah. So now I have to deal with my own story that I'm going to make up, but I'm just going to make it up about him and them.
There you go. So,
but yeah, no, I think they could work in tandem. Yeah. Like I think it'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any interest at all, frankly, in, your verdict about what happened, listener.
Yeah, agreed.
I am interested in saying, hey, given these two pieces of media, what can I take away for myself and mm-hmm. my relationship? Cause Laura and I are okay. And we don't need you to tell us what you think, unless it's what you think about what you learned. I mean, honestly, yeah. we know how this kind of thing goes. Media, there's full of trolls, right? I mean, people are interested in bringing you down and that won't be helpful here. And it probably won't do you any good either. I hope that's okay for me to say, Laura, but,
yeah, totally. I am, but you're right. I am interested in, did you learn something from listening to the two of us just sort of like sort this out? And, obviously like it was one, we're not perfect. Like you heard that, like the way that I approached Zach was like spiteful and it was intended to like cause discomfort because I was hurting, like hurting people hurt people. And that's like really what I was, I was in that state of wanting to take some of this experience that I was having that he was unaware of and like kind of like push back a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the point is we're not perfect.
Yeah. However, and I may have, and I can own for sure that I am operating out of a place of professional and personal instability that maybe meant I overfunctioned in that interview. I can own that is a possible thing that happened. And when I say mm-hmm. I'm not interested in your verdict, mm-hmm. what I'm saying is if you have a verdict, just be kind. You don't need to, we're happy to engage with you, but there's no need to like, pile on here.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to land this plane and, on the back end of that, I will also mention that we haven't talked about our sponsors for a while, but if like, you're still looking for, you're like, wow, oof, I don't do any of this. Like, I don't know what Laura's talking about of like taking a beat and just like sorting out, is this me or is this we, what would that look like? I can't even imagine that for myself. Maybe you're looking for just some individual support. I will talk about our partnership with BetterHelp because it's been a little while since we've mentioned them, but they are there to support you. And, we work, you know, in tandem with them. So let's land this plane.
Okay.
So that was interesting, you guys. I'm sweating like a lot and I just appreciate that we have this platform and I hope that, I hope it was helpful, to be perfectly honest. Like that's why I had to like talk Zach into it and say, this was not a good situation for me, but I want something to come of it. And part of it is just repairing our relationship. And part of it too is being able to use it as an opportunity to help others. Again, you know, if you are someone that is like, man, I really want that skill set, two ways to go about doing that. If you are looking for an individual therapist for your marriage or for yourself, we have partnered with BetterHelp. It's BETTER, BetterHelp. And then you can get a discount, which is pretty special, if you go to trybetterhelp.com/MTR. Another way, and I think this is maybe the last week that you can register for the Art and Science of Love on October 23rd and 24th, is to go to gottman.com/MTR. And don't forget to put in your promo code, and it is MTR2021. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.